morning, guys. How y'all doing? Good. Oh, man, it's a beautiful day. I'm just happy to be here. Let's all pray. We'll just close our eyes and pray. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in Jesus' name, we love you. Everything we do in life, it's because we love you. We thank you. We walk with you. Lord, we're spending time with you. Our determined purpose in life is to be found in you, to abide and dwell in your presence, Lord. And Lord God, we just invite you to have your way in this service, in our lives, every day, moving forward. We just release you, Holy Spirit, have your way in this message, that I'd only say what you would want to say, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for just a joy unspeakable and full of glory to fill this place today. Amen. Amen. Man, God is good. I so enjoy worship. It's just those moments where you just get to really reconnect what it's all about. And so I am in a series that every time, each week it gets longer. I'm up to 19 pages of notes and I'm on page 7. So, you know, we'll be working on this one a while. You know, sometimes I do a series and I taught on Holy Spirit with the students for 2 years straight. There's just so much. Like, you can teach Jesus every day, right? So the title of this series is Authority and Action. So everybody say authority in action. Action. So this is part 3, and I kind of titled part 3, Turn the Power Switch On, or Turn the Switch On. So for you note takers out there, I do give a lot of scripture, much of it's going to be on the screen, and these messages are online, so you can go to ycf.com and click resources, and there's sermons there. We also have, Chad was awesome, created a YouTube channel for us, for those people that like screens and stuff like that. So it is time, everybody go, it is time to turn your power switch on. All right. So how many people, we've had a lot of intense rainstorms recently. Anybody, did their power go off for a little bit? Anybody lose power? I can always tell because I go back to my apartment and all the clocks are wrong. Hey, remember for you old people like myself, because I'm 38 and so young, but anybody remember being late for the bus because the power went off? That was before cell phones. Thankfully, cell phones. I am so thankful for my cell phone. I have no excuse to be late. All right. So the worst part when the power is off is sitting around in the dark. Right? I had, actually Brad's mom texted me, I think it was like 2 days ago because their power got turned off and she was like so tired of waiting around for the power to be turned on. She just like left. I'm just leaving the house. Forget it. I'm going to go do errands. it's very frustrating waiting and waiting and waiting. And that sheer frustration, what do you do? You know, it kind of feels like the last 5 months sitting around in lockdown in the dark, waiting and waiting and waiting for something to change. You know, when we sit in the dark, it is really easy to get frustrated. How many people dealt with some anger over the last 5 months besides myself? Okay. Anger, frustration. And then when you're angry and frustrated, we like to blame and point fingers. And that we learned that from Satan, because Satan likes to throw stones and point fingers. God did it. We like to blame. And you know, after that, sitting in the dark for a while, depression starts to hit your brain. Anxiety, fear. You know, if you are sitting in darkness, it's hard to see, it's hard to get clarity. And you start getting a symptom in your body, and you think it's the C word. And when I say the C word, like beforehand it used to be cancer, and now it's like corona! Every little like weird thing, that's corona! They have jokes and memes, like it's ridiculous. Anybody seen some corona memes? Yeah, they're going to haunt us. Remember, anybody old enough to remember Y2K? And have anybody seen, they actually like recreated Y2K memes at this point. People are Googling right now, what is a meme? I've been there. You know, so it's tough. And you know, for those people that are fighting in faith to receive a full manifestation of healing in their body, maybe you're going through a treatment right now. And by the way, doctors are on Team God, by the way.
So we don't fight our team. You fight your team, you're going to lose. But doctors are on team God. So there are people that are working with doctors, which are on team Jesus. And for that, their immune system's kind of compromised. And, you know, they're fighting fear of a death sentence. And you know, this is a very sombering thing. You know, Satan has really, in the last 5 months, strategically tried to paralyze the church. Paralyzes, I'm so scared I can't move, or I don't know what to do. I don't know what move I can make. I don't know what move I can legally make. I don't know what move in wisdom I can make. I don't know what move in my business I should make. You know, do we open up our doors? Is it worth, you know, the utility bills of operating our business? There's some really heavy decisions going on right now. And Satan has lied to the church. We are the church, and tried to convince us that we are powerless victims. How many people are not a powerless victim besides myself? Yeah, how many people learn that in life? I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim of my circumstances. But Satan has really gotten a lot of Christians to forget who they really are in Christ Jesus. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are joint seated with Him in heavenly places. Far above all the demonic activity, all the darkness, all the depression, all the anxiety, all the financial pressure, above every medical report, above every financial report, above what's going on in the economy. We are joint seated with Him in heavenly places, above the mud, the muck, and the drama. And I'm going to eventually, hopefully, on my next sermons, my next one, we'll get to it. I want to talk about, you know, in Romans 5 verse 10, it talks about how we are called as His sons and daughters to rule and reign in life as a kingdom of priests and kings. I don't even have time to develop that thought, but we're going to get there, and it's exciting. We are Christ's ambassadors, authority in action, to represent Him in action as His hands and as the feet of Jesus. It's not, you know, we do have to pray. I'm going to hit prayer real hard today. But you pray first, and then you what? Do something. And you go, Lord, how, when, what? But He will always, He's the Lord, He's a God of action. Because faith without works is dead. And we're going to talk today how much authority He's given you and how much power He's given you, but we maybe just forgot about it. Or got so used to just doing things inside the church, we forgot we are called where? Outside the church. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And according to Isaiah 54, which is, I read probably Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 54 over myself and over this church almost every day. But it says, no weapon formed against us, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Whether that's a financial thing, whether that's lack, whether that's sickness, whether that's corona, whether that's against your business, your family, your marriage, no weapon formed against us will prosper. But we have to remember God's promises. You know, Satan's tactic is to overwhelm us and distract us so we can forget what Jesus bought us at the cross. So I like crowd participation. Somebody shout out right now, what did Jesus buy back at the cross? What was it? Everything. Thank you, Mark. That's right. He bought back freedom. Freedom in the natural, freedom in the spirit. Freedom from depression, anxiety, freedom from shame. He bought back healing, every symptom in your body. He paid for 2,000 years ago. He set us free from the powers of darkness. He set us free from the powers of addiction. I don't care what the world says your DNA is wired to. I come from a long line of addiction on different sides of my family. Guess what? I'm not an addict. Guess what? My family aren't addicts either. We were set free. Blood bought. Our whole family tree was washed, and we're never going to deal with that ever again. Because we know what was bought back at the cross. We're free from mental torment. Amen? How many people are sick and tired of mental illness and emotional disorders stealing from your life, your family tree? What was bought back at the cross 2,000 years ago? So here's my example. Okay, the electric company. So the electric company's responsibility is to provide power to its citizens, right? The electric company's responsibility is to provide power to you. So MedEd is the electric company, and it's their job to get you power to your home. All right, so if you walk into a dark room in your home, and you sit down in the darkness, or you go into someone else's house, or you go into a business, and there's no power on, it's dark, and you sit down, is it the job of MedEd to turn your switch on? Do I go into a dark room, and I sit down for 15 minutes and wallow with everybody else in the dark room? It's so dark. Oh my gosh. And I call MedEd. Hey, MedEd. Listen, I'm in the dark room. When, I need you to please send someone. Oh God. When are you going to send somebody? Turn the power on. It's so dark out here in the world. It is not MedEd's job to turn your power switch on. It is not MedEd's job to turn the light on wherever you go. It is your job to, everybody go, flip the switch. Everybody say it, flip the switch to turn the light on. Because the light of the world is Jesus Christ. You can go study it out in, John chapter 1, John chapter 8. Jesus is the light of the world, right? But when we gave our life to him, Jesus became the light to all men through us. We are the light of the world. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's why I have the worship team, so I don't sing. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Okay. But if you're sitting in the dark room and you're not letting the light of mankind, Jesus Christ, inside of you, the embodiment of power, of love, of joy, despite all circumstances. The most joyful book in the Bible is Philippians. The word joy is used more time in that book than anywhere else in the entire Bible. And Paul wrote that chained in a dungeon, unjustly accused, waist deep at times. They actually say the sewers ran, gravity, how the sewers run back then. At times, they said he was ankles even potentially waist deep in the muck. I know, right? Yeah, I'm a youth pastor. See, I did really good without even naming the names. I was very classy about that. But, waist deep in it. How many people feel a little waist deep in it right now? But rejoice! Hard times are promised. If you don't get that, you're not reading the whole Bible. I am not the pastor who's like, when you become a Christian, everything's just rainbows and sunshine and unicorns. Life is hard. It is hard, and it is a dark world, but the light of mankind, Jesus Christ, is inside of you. But it's your job to flip the switch. Everybody go, flip the switch. So in each house, it is the responsibility of the members of that house. This is one house, right? There are many houses, incredible churches in York County. I have friends in so many of them. It is all of our jobs as members of the body of Christ, members of his house, to flip the switch. If the power has been supplied, Jesus paid the power bill 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, his great love paid the ultimate price. So I could play by play talk about the crucifixion, and it's horrifying. The beatings, the torment, the lashings, the oppression, they like ripped him to shreds emotionally, mentally, physically. They say he was so shredded by the cat of nine tails, which was a whip with all these different, like, nine layers of leather in it. And they would put pieces of metal and bone and rock in it. So when it would whip into his back like a claw, it would grab into the flesh and rip it off in shreds. Isaiah 53 describes that. In the very end of Isaiah 52, it said he was not even recognizable as a human. Like, when you look at a butcher shop where he didn't look human. That's the suffering he went through. That's everything he bought back for us. That's why we take communion, to remember what he did for us. If he went through that to supply you with all things that pertain to life and godliness, to supply you with freedom, with healing, with joy, despite all circumstances. And we sit in darkness. And we sit on our hands and the answer's inside of us. If he did that in vain, yet we pray, oh God, it's so dark out there. God, send someone. Change it. Lord God, turn the light on. And he says, I already did 2,000 years ago. I supplied the power. Jesus Christ himself is inside you. Son, daughter, remember who you really are. It is time to flip the switch. If the power has been supplied and you are sitting in a dark room where everyone around you has gone dark, fighting depression, fighting anxiety, panic attacks, it is our job to flip the switch. We can't afford to be apathetic right now. You can't afford to make excuses. God, send someone, send someone, send someone. Are we just being lazy? Or do we just forget? I'm going to just say we forgot. It is our responsibility to make use of the power he's given you. Power to bring healing. Power to bring love. Tangible love. Power to bring joy. Power to bring peace. Power to set people free. Power to heal the sick. Is inside. Jesus has supplied you with all you need for this life by his grace. You can turn to 2 Peter. I don't even have my notes, but you guys look it up. I'll quote it to you. I messed up. Might be on the screen. 2 Peter in the Amplified Classic. So first of all, grace is God's divine empowerment, God's divine influence, his character and his nature freely received in our heart and reflected in our life. I teach I think I had a 3 or 4 part series on it a couple years ago. Maybe I'll repost it. But it's a free gift, not because I'm qualified, not because I'm awesome, not because I dress a certain way, talk a certain way, and did everything right and made amends from all my sins. No, Jesus did that 2,000 years ago. Grace is a free gift. His divine empowerment to be who you're called to be Jesus on this earth. Even if you look a certain way, talk a certain way, got, you know, a mile-long rap sheet, guess what? He is more likely to use you because he gets all the glory and you're really humble about it because I have so messed up my life. He's like, wonderful! I can put you all back together and all they're going to see is me and I'm going to get all the credit. So honestly, the bigger the mess you are, the more glory God gets and it'll keep you humble because pride comes before the fall. So grace is a free gift. So 2 Peter, and it'll be on the screen. By his divine empowerment. Okay. By his divine power, God has given us everything. Everybody say everything. We need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. Just to abide in him, to walk with him, to spend time with him. We spend time with the Lord in his word. Just talk to him throughout our day. He starts to change us. And it says, the one who called us to himself by the means of his marvelous glory and excellence. We have undeserved free grace to defeat every temptation. So when temptation comes and smacks you in the face, and it's pretty much on every channel, even in the YouTube commercials, it's there all the time. God has given you his grace to not take the bait. Don't beat yourself up because you're tempted. 40 days, 40 nights, Jesus was tempted with everything. Says that he was tempted with everything you've ever been tempted with. It just didn't have time to list it. The Bible's only this big. Okay, so it listed 3 of them. So if he faced that temptation and overpowered it by the power of the Holy Spirit and his grace, he's empowered you, right? All right, so we have been empowered to slip off every chain that was already broken 2,000 years ago. Just slip it off. It's just your past. Your past is your past. Does it define us? We're not powerless victims. We're not mess ups. We're not sinners just saved by grace. We are literally representatives of Jesus Christ on the earth, sons and daughters. But we're going to have to change our perspective. Remember who we really are. Remember who we're seated with. And then we'll reflect his love, his joy, his peace, his wisdom, and the empowerment to be the change physically in action. Jesus in us is the light of the world, and he has equipped us with every weapon and every tool to drive out darkness, to flip the switch. But you have to use it. Do you know you're given opportunities every single day to be the light? every single day. We are given choices and opportunities to react in our emotions, to react to the attack, to react in some rage out rant on social media because the media is lying to you, and represent who? So are we going to respond? Or are we going to react? Responding is coded truth in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't speak the truth in love, will it change the world? Motive being love. Sometimes Jesus was, he could drop the mic. I mean, he could say it, but his motive was love, not self-righteousness, but love. We are given opportunities in the spirit, and we're given opportunities in the natural. Spiritual opportunities is someone that's fighting physical sickness in their body, and you say, yeah, I'll pray for you. Be warm, be filled, and go about your day. You have missed an opportunity to connect them with a power source. Jesus commanded us to pray for people, for healing, for freedom, for restoration, all these areas. But if we just go, I'll pray for you, the likelihood, we often forget. And sometimes it just doesn't mean it as much until their face is in front of you. Take every opportunity to impart spiritual giftings, whether it be a prophetic word of encouragement, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, physical healing, whatever it is, there's a spiritual opportunity. But sometimes in the church, we want to talk about all that, but we don't want to talk about the natural opportunities we're given. We have to use all the gifts he's given us, okay? Because Ephesians 5:15-16 says, pay careful attention then how you walk, not as the unwise or as the wise. So how you walk, if you walk in love and you walk in truth, you'll have a voice. If you walk in anger and rage and blame and gossip and slander, tearing apart other people, will you have a voice? Maybe to your own choir, but the choir's voting like you are anyway, so are you changing the world? Mm-mm. Says, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. What does that mean? There is an urgency, because we're at war, whether you like to believe it or not. There's a spiritual battle going on for our children, for our education system, for our economy, for our very lives. Use every opportunity, every influence, every talent. Remember the parable of the talents? If you go bury it and try to run the clock because it's not convenient to pray for people right now, you know what? Call up and FaceTime them. Every opportunity. There are spiritual weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, right? We talked about that the last 2 weeks, but there's also natural things we can do. So first of all, be educated. Do your research. And I want you to research the Bible first. You hear me, y'all? Dig through every scripture on how to live a godly life, how to represent Jesus, what his will is, what his character is, what his nature is. What would Jesus do in that situation? And then I want you to research your rights within your business, your rights within the political arena, your rights within your schools. Research those platforms and look at every single one of them. Be educated, because then you'll be able to build a bridge to someone that's different than you. And you go find out what the Bible says, and you have been given a right. You've been given power and authority to vote. And if you don't, you have chosen to sit in darkness. But I mentioned a lot of things in there. For those of you that just pray right before an election and vote, you have done yourself and this country and your community a disservice. Please, I beg of you, get involved in the PTA, parent-teacher organization. I beg of you, run for political office, locally, whatever. We need you. Start an outreach. Miss Jurel. It broke her heart to see people go hungry and have to jump through all these hoops just to feed their family and wait and like almost beg. I mean, God has given people dignity. And she extends that to dignity to people because she just makes it a joyful process that anybody shows up to harvest the blessings. Yeah, it's more groceries than you can normally take home. You can't even fit it. But she took action. You know, a lot of people complain about the state of young people. How many people are millennials right now? Sometimes it can be a little embarrassing. Sometimes how we're represented. We complain about it, but we took ourselves out of the school system. I will pray. Please pray about the school system right now. Listen, I support whatever the Holy Spirit told you to do. But if all the Christians that have the means and resources take their kids out of school, do you think the world's going to be a brighter place? He has given you authority in your community, in your school district. And if all we do is pray, yet we don't look for practical ways of action, the world will not change. You know, we call, my kid's hanging around with these idiots, blah, 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 they're smoking weed and blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, why don't you invite them to your house for dinner? Why don't you go pick them up and, you know, you buy ice cream was like a big bribe in our family, you know, go to Friendly's afterwards. You want the world to change? You want the future to change? Pour into people, disciple people, mentor people, be a big brother, be a big sister. I want to talk about foster care. We have some incredible foster families and people that work in foster care. Please talk to Miss Liz. It's incredible opportunities. The world needs you. We pray, we pray, we pray. Oh God, will you change? Oh God, will you send? Oh God, will you fix my neighbor? Oh God, will you change the friend group of my kid? He already sent you. It is your job to, here we go, flip the switch. This is hitting a little close to home because I just shot everybody's excuses. I didn't shoot you, just shot the excuses. If you want to see darkness flee, in the political arena, in your school district, in our community, in our city. And I'm so tired of people. We do prayer for York, and we meet at a different church every month, and we get to city churches. I don't go into the city. I can't even park in the city. Did you just forget who you really are? We are the righteousness of Christ Jesus. He has given you wisdom, but if you are bound by fear, the world around you is not going to change. You can't park in the city? Seriously, guys? Miss Gerald Outreach is in the city, and you know what? We're taking back the city block by block by block. There are powerful St. Paul's Evangelical Congregational Church. Pastor Carlos Kelly's on King Street. Mighty man of God. Great man of power in the Holy Spirit. A friend of my father's. They're in the city. They are the light, and we are to join with our church families. But you know what? I grew up in the cornfields. You know, I lived on the edge of suburbia. My backyard was a cornfield. My local drug dealer was a really nice guy. I can't say his name because he might be listening. Really nice guy. We took him to church twice. really, they normally are very nice guys. At least in Spring Grove. Spring Grove's a very nice place. But you want things to change? You will have to take action. Show up with some cookies from Miss Gerald. Just be like, hey, you want to come to my church any day? You are always welcome. Come as you are. Authority in action. Do everything by prayer first, y'all, right? Don't do it by prayer. You got to pray first. Look for the timing, look at the opportunity, but do something. Everybody say, do something. You want to see the world around you change? You need to do life with people that are different than you. Look different, talk different, come from a different family background, have a different kind of job. When all we do is hang out with people that look like us and talk like us, we just preach to the choir. The world around us does not change. But you know what? If all you do is attack people and pick them apart, I can't believe you like this and you vote this way and blah, 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 blah. They're going to come over to your barbecue? So have a barbecue if you don't want to have people inside your house. You know, get sit where the wind's blowing the other way, whatever, wherever you're faced at, okay? Have a barbecue. Invite some people over that are different than you and talk Jesus. Talk what he's done in your life. He's given you a testimony. He's given you power, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Corona or not, they have Zoom. You can do Zoom. Listen, wherever your faith level is at, I tell everybody, you be led by your peace, okay? Don't override peace in your heart. I didn't say fear. Be led by your peace. And if just you have some stipulations in your physical body, you know, listen, be led by your peace. God has given you wisdom and ability, all things that pertain to life and godliness. You can have a Zoom Bible study. You know, you can have a Zoom prayer meeting with your neighbors. Start a neighborhood prayer group. Whatever it may be. Do something. This is part of the believer's authority. And I added on in action. Matthew 10, 7 through 8. Jesus commanded, did he ask us? Oh, pretty please, church. Please, my brothers and my sisters, my sons and my daughters, okay? Jesus commanded, he did not suggest it. Go outside your four walls. Go and announce to them, the world that is dark, that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. That's what the Bible says. Cure those with leprosy. Cure those with leprosy. Cure those with corona. Cast out demons. Freely give. Give as freely as you have received. So listen, my experiences do not define my theology or my doctrine. I've never met anybody with leprosy, but Jesus says I can pray for them and I can command leprosy to leave in the name of Jesus and they're healed. Whether you've experienced it or not, that's what the Bible says. And I'm not going to let my experiences define my theology, because that's how cults form. So if you have an experience, praise God, take risks. God says I can, because it's not even me. It's him. I'm not the healer. Who's the healer? Jesus. I just command Satan to leave and bring Jesus on the scene. He does it. God commanded us to go outside the walls of the church, outside the four walls of your home, out into the real world and use your power. Turn your switch on. We can't hoard it inside the church and just keep having Bible studies. You can't hoard it and just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Oh, God, send someone. Oh, God, it's so dark. Oh, Lord, Jesus, come. When are you going to change the world? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, when are you going to send us a such and such kind of president? Oh, Jesus, when are you going to do? He says, I sent you. Go do something. Let me do something through you and with you. Not because you deserve it. Not because you look a certain way, talk a certain way, and don't have a rap sheet. He just says, by his grace, give me opportunity. Take every opportunity. Stop sitting on our hands in the darkness crying, why, God, why? Please deliver us, O Lord. Save us. Save our nation. He delivered us and saved us 2,000 years ago. And now you're supposed to represent your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where is America today? Because the church stopped being involved in the world. John 17, Jesus left us and he knew it was going to be hard. And he prayed, ached in his heart for his friends. His friends. Lord God, I've sent them in the world, but don't be of the world. We have a problem with Christians today. Sometimes they spend so much time in the world, they forget who they are. And there are people in the world that act better than Christians do in their character, in their integrity. Truth. That's why people don't want to go to church. Okay, I get it. But also, sometimes all we do is hang out in our four walls of our church and we get so weird. Like, weird. How many people have been in some weird seasons in churches where you're like, I cannot bring my family or my friends to this church right now? Okay, because they stopped hanging out with people in the real world. They lost the language. Now, I don't have to say four-letter words to reach someone in the world, right? But if you're like, you know the Christian jargon. How you doing? Bless God, glory together, shaking, running over. How you doing? Here's my 20. Thank you, cash register. You know, like, we just stop being weird. Don't be weird. Okay. Don't be weird. Please. Please don't be weird. I don't even know where I am right now. All right. We have to remember what Jesus already did for us, right? And remember who we are and walk in it and use every gift he's given you spiritually, prophetic gifting, gifts of healing, gifts of love, gifts of joy, financial gifts. My Uncle Jim gave a really great word about looking for opportunity to give generously, meet needs. There are single moms in your neighborhood that right now, it's just really, really hard. Ask God how you can help them. There are families right now that they're almost losing their business and it's all hands on deck. Ask the Lord how you can help them. Have groceries delivered to them. Do something. Maybe babysit the kids so the spouse can help them in their business. We can do something, because if we do something, if we represent Jesus spiritually, praying for them, looking for every opportunity, but also physically, suddenly they might just want to meet your Jesus. But if we're sitting in darkness, do we have anything that they want? They're just as scared as we are. God gave us spiritual authority and commanded us to use it. It is not MedEd's job to drive out the darkness. It is not MedEd's job to drive out to your house and flip on the switch. It is not God's job to drive out the darkness in your life. He already did. He supplied the power. He supplied Jesus Christ. Flip the switch. You have to stir yourself up. How many people had an opportunity this week where they got a really bad report, negative report? Maybe they're talking about more layoffs. Maybe you know, like you weren't able to make your mortgage. And you had to stir yourself up. And forget not all the benefits of the Lord. Forget not, we sang songs about His faithfulness. I have gone through incredible losses in my life. Anybody else? But I have also seen God's goodness and His faithfulness. And I have seen miracles, and I have to dwell on His character and nature outside of what I've experienced. This is just called, we live in this world, but not of this world. Satan is technically the god of this world. But when Jesus came, He gave us back the keys to the kingdom. It's time to use it. I get to talk about that next week. Where are we on time? We'll get to a stopping point. It is not God's job to come down off His throne and turn your power switch on. Luke 10:19, an Amplified Bible and the Classic Version, I really like both of them together, says, "Listen carefully, I have given you authority and power that you now possess." I don't got to ask for it, it's already given to you. "To trample on serpents and scorpions," that means dangerous situations, life-threatening situations, "and the physical and mental strength," everybody say physical, "and mental strength and ability to exercise authority over all the power that the enemy, Satan, possesses." Satan does have power. But God has given you greater authority and greater power in His name. And it says nothing will in any way harm you. To have authority is to have the right to command. God gave you authority, and He gave you power. It was bought at the cross, the precious blood of Jesus. The power bill was paid. You didn't have to do anything to deserve that. Completely free gift. You have been given authority to cast out demons, it says. Demons just influence people through lies. Stop watching horror movies, because you're like, oh, I think they're like creepy fangy, you know. Okay, stop. Don't watch horror movies. It will affect your spiritual authority. It'll affect how you view yourself in the light of the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says Jesus was the light of the world, and the darkness fled. You got to represent. I'll talk about that next week. Lots of plugs for next week. Keep coming back. Or not next week, actually, maybe 2 weeks. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Keep focused. I'm so focused. All right, so Jesus already paid the price. He gave you power and authority. It is your job to use it. Do not receive the grace of God in vain and not use it. Don't receive the power of God when you ask Jesus into your life and not use it. It is time to turn the switch of faith on. Matthew 10:1. Jesus summoned His 12 disciples and gave them authority and power over unclean spirits to drive them out, to cure, to heal all and every kind of disease, all kinds of sickness, weakness, and infirmity. Look it up in the Amplified Bible and the Amplified Classic. So if in your greatest of weaknesses, the Lord God is made the strongest because you need Him the most, that's a great time when you don't feel like it to go pray for someone. My personality type, yes, I'm a feeler, but spiritually, like, I'm a not. I just know. God has taught me not to be dependent on a feeling to go pray for someone. I know His word. If you know this, that's all you need to go pray for someone. I don't need to get some tingly, warm feelies. I don't need a voice from heaven. I don't need the like light to shine down. I feel the Lord. I feel led. No, the Bible commanded you to go pray for people. You see a need, pray for them. You see a need, go give to it. You want to be filled, but you don't help them? So it talks about demons. So, you know, I kind of hit this. Demons just influence people with lies, temptation, and things like that, right? So people are not your enemy. The person running for that political office is not your enemy. The enemy are the spirits behind pulling the strings, manipulating, and causing them to emotionally react and attack and blame, right? So we are not to pray against people. We're supposed to pray against the spirit influencing people. We are to bless people. Bless our enemies, not talk and slander and cut them down and say nasty things about them all over social media. They're people. They have families. Bless their family. If a president is in office and he's not your pick, well, it's all we got. So you better pray for him. Okay. Pray. Bless his family. Bless his marriage. Bless his kids. God gave you power over all of darkness, over all the enemies, right? Over all the powers of darkness. It is our job to pray, to expose lies of the enemy, to expose lies in the media, right? You know, Satan has really overplayed his hand. The world's gone nuts. They're acting crazy on both sides. All y'all seen it. I don't care what part of it. They've been all acting crazy. It's like, oh my gosh. Christians acting crazy, okay? Satan has overplayed his hand, and it's actually caused things to be unmasked and exposed, right? Jesus looks real bright right now, okay? Because the world looks real dark. All right, so I want to kind of end on this thought, and the Lord's going to show me where to stop here. But the problem with us as Christians is we're simply in an identity crisis. That's it. Anybody ever gone through a midlife crisis, an identity crisis, just fighting depression, fighting like this lost feeling? It's normally we just forget who we really are. When people feel lost, they feel lost because they forgot Jesus inside them, his purpose, his plans, his desire to use them, right? Because when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do in every situation, in every opportunity, every time someone says some nasty thing to you. I am the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. How dare you, Satan, speak through them and remind me of a past that is not who I am. I am a son and a daughter of the Most High God, and I have been called to rescue and save every person that ever went through the exact same thing I did. Every stupid decision I've ever made, I am called to go set other people free to that. So what Satan meant for harm, God meant for good. I know that lie. When people start talking nasty about you, I was like, that means Satan must be stirred. Because he knows the people you've been called to reach. Because, you know, you'll reach people that nobody else will. You know, sometimes you don't have a voice in the club until you've been in the club. Until you've lost a loved one, maybe a father, a mother, a child. You know, people say really stupid things until you've been in that club. You have a voice to rescue and save and bring healing of hearts that nobody else will quite understand. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. The answer is inside of us. It is time to turn the switch on. I just feel the anointing and I'm just going to stop. I'm learning just when to stop. If our worship team could come up front, and it's okay, like I'm going to, don't rush, it's fine. I just learn to like give God space. Church, it's time to remember who Jesus is and what he did 2,000 years ago. And it's time to remember who you are. And it's time to rise up. So everybody just stand up. As a representation of us remembering, I am seated with him in heavenly places, joint seated with Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross, and it said we were crucified with him, nailed to the cross with him, a life for life exchange. He took your past, he took your sorrow, he took your grief, he took your loss, he took your brokenness, and all your weaknesses and all your flaws and all the goofy parts of our personality. He nailed it to the cross. And it says that we were dead with him. The old died. Our past died. And it says we were resurrected with him. Christ Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You are now a son and a daughter of the Most High God. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given you the grace to face every temptation and every attack and not react, but respond with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Not react, but respond with the gifts of healing and the gifts of love and the gifts of generosity and the gifts of prophetic words of encouragement to build up, to strengthen, to comfort, to exhort his people. And an ambassador that can introduce someone in another kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, to the King of Light, Jesus Christ himself. Yes, it is time to pray. Yes, it's time to vote. Yes, it's time to do. But before you can do anything, you got to remember who you really are. It's time to turn the switch on. Time to turn on our identity in Christ Jesus. Time to turn on the power of God. And time to break off shame and guilt and condemnation that says, I am not deserving for Jesus Christ to do something powerful through me. Good. You were never supposed to be deserving. It's because he loves you. My dad built houses, and I'll tell you, we had some really rough, awesome, mighty men of God that came to our church because my dad made some mistakes and had to go back and build houses and preach the gospel to construction workers. And the kingdom of heaven got really strong and manly because of that. Maybe you had a kid and you weren't expecting to have that kid. Every gift, every baby's a gift. But you're a mom now, or you're a dad now, and now you have a voice to other mothers and fathers. Our mistakes don't define us. Our weaknesses don't define us. Jesus Christ himself does. And right now, we're going to do a prayer to action, and I want you just to clear your heart. And I feel like there's just some shame right now that's messing with people's heads, things that have happened over lockdown or just things in your past. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we break off shame. It was taken to the cross 2,000 years ago. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your divine empowerment, your grace to be Jesus Christ on this earth. We look at your disciples. They're a bunch of roughneck people that tend to do the wrong thing, said the wrong thing, were totally unqualified. And you turn the world upside down. You flip the switch, and the light of Jesus Christ was the light of mankind. There are people right now that are fighting symptoms in their body, whether it be cancer, pain in your body, certain disease. Jesus is your healer. He healed you 2,000 years ago. And it's just time to remember, you don't have to deserve that. It's a free gift. So if you got some symptoms in your body, if you have some pain, some diagnosis, some things going on, I want you just to raise both hands to heaven. And people around them, I just want you to stretch your hand towards them. We're going to use faith and wisdom, but this is our point of action. Just stretch your hand towards them. And I want you to pray and release the healing power of God in them right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, according to your word, Lord, Isaiah 53 said, Jesus Christ, You came. You came. And you were beaten. And your lashes that you took on your back, Jesus, you died. You were beaten for our mistakes, our transgressions, our weaknesses, every mental torment, mental illness, physical illness, addiction. Jesus, you came and you took it all on the cross and you set us free. And we just release your healing power in them right now. It's you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, sickness, go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, mental torment, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, chemical imbalances, emotional imbalances, personality imbalances, you line up according to the Word of God. We release peace. Peace He left with you. We release your peace. Self-hatred, you go in the name of Jesus, that lying spirit. Spirit of self-harm and suicide, you go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we release your freedom. We release the love of God. We release your peace. And we rejoice. We rejoice for all that you've done for us. We rejoice at every opportunity you've been given. So right now, the Lord is just showing you people in your life that you're to reach out to. People in your life you're supposed to be calling once a week to disciple and be Jesus and show him, show them the love of God. Show them encouragement. Build them up. Cheerlead. Give them a scripture of the day. There are families in your neighborhood who God says, okay, the season of waiting is over. It's time to barbecue. Time to have them over and share how God just restored your son or your daughter. The prodigal came home, healed your marriage. Time to share how God set you free and you conquered Jesus' sickness in the grave, Lord, and you set them free and healed them from cancer. It is time to declare what God has done. Be the light and turn the switch on. And they're just going to sing one song, and I end it early so we can just worship Him. And I want you to thank Him for what He's already done. I want you to remember you are seated with Him and we walked in victory and the battle is won. See it, say it, and do something, whatever the Lord has called you to do. Amen.